Hey, all you pet stylists. You found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers. Hi, Susie. What's up?
Hi, Barbara. Welcome to Hell Months, the holiday month. This is episode 185 of the Groom Pod, recorded on October 28th, 2018 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This podcast is brought to you by listener support through Amazon and Patreon and through the kind sponsors at Best Shot, South Park, Show Season, Stazco, and Evolution Shears. This week on the Groom Pod, we're going to do part two of medicated shampoos and a little chat about air purifiers. If you want us to talk about your question, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/group/thegroompod. Subscribe to us wherever you can and leave a rating or a review if you feel like it. Find all things Groom Pod related, including our Amazon banner and Patreon button and the donation button at thegroompod.com. And thank you for sharing us with all your grooming buddies and continue to support our sponsors. Barbara, we're over 4,000 strong.
No kidding. Wow.
We crossed that barrier this week. It is impressive. I'm really pleased. I'm pleased so many of you guys choose to spend your day with us, or at least an hour of your day, or sometimes an hour and a half, occasionally 45 minutes. You know, you never can tell, really. It's a crapshoot with us.
Yeah, it's true. So that's 4,000 downloads last month. Is that what that is?
No, it's 4,000 members on our Facebook discussion group. The downloads vary. They fly all over the place because some people binge listen. Other people listen every week. Some people listen right away. Others don't listen until the next week. So the downloads vary. They always kind of range at about 3,000 downloads a week. But the members on the discussion group, which indicate our reach, is 4,000 strong.
Wow. Okay. Now, and that's actually was one of my first understanding. And then I thought maybe she's talking about downloads.
No, the downloads are much more variable.
Okay.
Isn't all that right. Neat? That's
yeah,
neat,
that's,
though.
That's good. Well, you know, we were hoping for, I remember just reaching for that 2,000 was going to be huge. And here we are, double that. That's gigantic. I'm going for 10.
I'm going for 30. And I'll tell you why I picked that number. It is not a random number. There's approximately 30,000 subscriptions to Groomer to Groomer. I want that number. That's the number I want.
You're so competitive. God.
It's true.
So you have to pick something that you can compete with. I just was picking something that would blow my mind.
Oh,
10,000
no.
would blow my mind.
You know? 10,000 will be cool. But as long as we keep at it, I'm certain that's attainable.
You know, like 4,001 is our next goal.
Yes. So I had just this coolest thing happened this week. It's cool, and yet it is also puzzling. My missing shears from Precision Shear showed up out of the blue.
Oh my God, how many months ago did they fail to reach you?
I don't even remember. I want to say it's at least 4 months, but it may be a little bit longer.
I was thinking 6.
Might be. I haven't looked it up.
I know that it was, you know, like it was kind of an ongoing thing. They're not here yet. And then there was, you know, like something seems to have happened thing. And then there finally was that thing like my shears got lost.
I filled out the paperwork for the insurance. I sent it into the United States Postal Service. And about once a month, I get an email notification that they still haven't found my package. I got that email notification one day before the missing package showed up in my box. So that's a puzzle right there. It's got a tracking number on it. They obviously had it in their possession when that email went out, and yet nobody apparently had ever searched out the number or updated it or has even cross-referenced that number.
Jesus.
On my... Yeah.
Right. It's a good thing it wasn't a suspected bomb in the mail. How come they can get the find the freaking bombs in the mail in 2 days, and they can't find your scissors for 4-6 months.
Here's the kicker. They were shipped second day air. Obviously an important package. So it says second day right on the box. Whichever mail carrier delivered it to whatever house in my neighborhood then did not send it back to the mail carrier for months, even though it was a second day package. Really? What kind of neighbor are you?
I mean, how do you know that it's the neighbor's fault? You cannot blame the neighbor because it said it was delivered to
the wrong address.
Does it give you the address that it was delivered to?
No, and I don't know that.
No, and you don't even know that it was delivered. You don't even know. That mailman.
I do know it was delivered because I get an informed mail email every day that says what packages I get and what letters I get. So I know that it got delivered. They tracked it as being delivered, which is why they could never find it when they were looking for it, because it was delivered. They just didn't know where it was delivered, because obviously it wasn't delivered to my house. But it does reassure me that nobody stole out of my mailbox.
Yeah. Right.
And they also never opened the package. Whoever had it never opened the package. It was sealed up just like Randy and Cheryl had sent it. So still, I felt like it was Christmas. I was so happy when I looked in my box and I thought, oh, there's my horse medicine. And what is that box? It looks like it says Precision Sharp. And then I saw the note on it that said that it had been delivered to the wrong address. And I both cursed and danced at the same time, because I'm dealing with a sheer unsharpening situation in my trailer right now. For some reason, I've got a couple pairs that are my go-to. One of them is the bent shank, little tiny 5.5-inch ones that I bought duplicates of. So I actually got, they're not sharp now, and I got a new pair of sharp ones now, and I'm so happy to have them. Oh my God. I didn't realize how much better my grooming is when I have those little bent shank, tiny straight scissors. They really do help. And my tiny curves, my 5-inch curves that are from Precision Sharp, are also dull right now. And that's why I asked the question about using a steel, which was on last week's show, I think.
Yeah.
It's because I'm trying to figure out if there's a way I can somehow straighten out the edge of those scissors to get through until Randy comes back into town, because I was so afraid to send my stuff away. Well, now maybe I will send my stuff away, because it did actually make it back. Doesn't appear to have been anything but a anomaly. It's an anomaly is what it is. And I think that I will send my not sharp stuff back east again and give it another try. Still, I think the idea of getting it sent to the vet hospital isn't a bad idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anything exciting with you? There is nothing that went on in my life that it even compares to opening that package and getting my shears back.
Yeah, I know. That was a happy moment. Well, I had an interesting day on Monday.
Oh, yeah?
It's normally a non-grooming day. Hey, Marco, excuse me, everybody. But El Barco is expressing himself freely. And if I can hear it through my headphones, I know y'all can hear it. Let me try to call him over. Marco, such a good recall. Here he comes, even though he's in deep shit. Hi there. Tip to owners. I'm sure we all know it, but you never call your dog over with an angry tone of voice like you're going to beat the shit out of him, because only a fool would come to that kind of a command, you know? And so sometimes in the process of adjusting my vocal tone and attitude, my actual attitude shifts a little bit and I'm a happier person.
That's funny. When I call Huckleberry, I'll go bird. And so when I get mad at one of the other animals, Huckleberry will go bird. So funny. Bird.
I know. See, those birds will often sort of, they're better than a mirror. They show you yourself.
Indeed, that is so true. They are very good reflections.
So, yeah. So allow me to continue. So I have a great customer with a bearded collie, and he got us, and she's getting old. He got a puppy a year ago, and we've only groomed, and the puppy is now bigger than the really big female. And he has a coat. It looks like he had Samoyed mixed in or something.
Oh, boy.
Got a lot of puppy undercoat and everything. And we groomed him one time. And we also came in on a day off because he's a wild man.
Bummer.
The dog is a wild man. And so then he doesn't show up for months and months go by. And he does bring the dog. I love it. When they bring dogs with them to pick up the dog that they're picking up, because it just generates this whole, you know, and then they've got two or three dogs that they have to safely walk out of the shop instead of just their one happy to go home dog.
Yep.
And, you know, and sometimes one dog will jump on the other dog because it doesn't smell right because it just got a bath.
Yes.
You know, stuff happens. So
always,
you know, but anyway, he brings Charlie to pick up Katie often. And so we've seen how he's growing, and I've seen how his coat was like sticking straight out, looking more like a Samoyed. And I briefly would touch on it. Are we going to see Charlie again? You know, well, not ready yet. And finally, And we talked about what an effort it is to groom Charlie, and I did charge him like over $100 the last time. But Rick comes in and he says, "I have a plan." And
uh-oh.
I said, "Okay, you know, what's that?" So his plan was, I'll bring Charlie in and stay, and maybe I can keep him more settled down for you. Well, you know what my groomer brain went, meh, 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 meh. Never, no. So I said, all right, because I'm thinking at least he would see what we do, what it takes, all of the above, you know,
yep.
What tools yeah. I'm using, all of that. So I capitulated before anything came out of my mouth. And I said, well, we could give that a try. And I have to tell you that sometimes when dog owners stay, it creates more of a distraction and problem than it is helpful. And I will reserve the right to run you off at any point if I think it's turning out that way. And he said, okay, I'll agree. And then I have to schedule Yvonne to come in with me because I can't bathe and groom that dog by myself.
Right.
So we did it. And it took 6 hours. We were
holy
there from 9 o'clock until 3 o'clock.
With him?
With him. And the dog was so matted. Oh, Susie was way matted. You know, I knew that any self-respecting, compassionate groomer would have just insisted on shaving the dog down. But he's got 6 inches of hair. He's a year and a month old now. He's, you know, he would take the dog home and say, I'll do it. And he wouldn't be able to and end up going to another groomer or something.
Yeah.
The whole basis of my taking care of the other one every 2 weeks is that he has a commitment to maintaining a long coat.
Right.
So it was 6 hours of picking apart mats. Here was the real fun part.
Yeah.
The dog didn't tolerate any dryer.
Oh. Well, tell me, how did the guy react while this was going on?
Well, he was.
Did he get it?
He's taken the dog to the do-it-yourself groomer, and he knows the dog doesn't tolerate the dryer. So that was no surprise on him. And I managed to rodeo through enough high-velocity drying that I could get it done part way. And I did a pretty good job of that. The worst of it was the lower part of the legs, which I couldn't dry at all. I mean, I even tried my little handheld dryer, and he was just like off to outer space. And the dog can't tolerate it. But so that added time. And using spray products that need to dry before they really detangle, that added some time. But I used a lot of silicone gel that I could rub into a matted area and pick it apart. But one of the hardest parts of the grooming was not what was going on with me and the dog and my body and the dog, but it was watching the other people groom, including my assistant of 5.5 years, doing nothing that I had taught her.
That is so frustrating.
Oh my God. And
yeah, you're gonna have to find a solution.
I'll tell you what, I came home and I cried, and it was not because of what I had of physical exhaustion and all of that. It was frustration, and it was feeling totally impotent as a teacher.
But it's she's impotent as a student. It's not you.
And
because Lily's probably doing great, right?
Lily groomed a Cocker Spaniel where we did a pattern on the body and a comb attachment on the legs. And that dog looked so good. It took her forever, but I'll give her that. I only went in when she was drying. I went in and made a couple of suggestions so that she would get done before 5:30. That was at 1:30, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
You know, like, okay, you really got to turn this up a little bit.
Yeah, but see, there you go.
And,
she's receptive.
She's receptive. But here's what with Yvonne. The first thing that she did that was a clue of what was to come is in the tub, she puts the dog, gets the dog in the tub, we're both there, and immediately starts spraying his face.
That's not, wow, okay.
And you know, and I know I taught her to groom the face last, just like we blow dry the head last, because it's the area where they have the least tolerance.
Yes.
No dog wants to be just like sprayed in the face. They're going to shake. They're going to hate it. They're going to want to get out. I was kind of crippled because the customer was there.
Yes.
So I did say to her, I did ask her, I said, Yvonne, why do you bathe the dog's face first when I've taught you to groom the face last? She said, well, I've just found that that way I know it's done and I'm working from the front to the back. And I said, well, you know, my reasoning for teaching you to do it last was that it's what's going to be most likely to freak out a dog in the tub is having their face done. And also the fact that they're out of the tub right after they get their face done is reinforces their, oh, this is the end of the road. We're good now. I can make it through.
It's a reward.
Even the customer, the owner, he's chiming in, answering my question. Well, you should do the dog's face last because he even knew.
Yep.
After that, I just shut my mouth and I came home and I had a breakdown and I cried and I cried. It was rough. It was
that sounds rough.
It was a rough moment. But the good news is that early this week, I think Wednesday, our first day of grooming, I was able to bring myself to talk to her about it.
Oh, and that's good.
I shared how I felt. I shared that I felt just like totally powerless as a teacher to her. I said, what were you thinking in your mind? Did you think, I know Barbara taught me to do it this way, but I'm going to do it this other way because I think that it's better and she's full of shit? I asked her that.
Good, because that's what you're feeling.
That's what I was feeling. So we worked it out. Like yesterday, Shin and Lily, and you know, and here's the other thing. Not only is she not doing things the way that I trained her, for each of which everything has a reason, she's teaching her granddaughter while my back is turned. She's back there teaching her all her bad habits. I even had to sit Lily down at lunchtime when Yvonne was out of the shop and say, if there's ever a discrepancy between what I've taught you and what your grandmother is teaching you, let me know. So she did get it. I charged him $200 and he gave me a $50 tip.
Oh, so, okay. That's reasonable. Is that what your day would have been? It seemed a little cheap.
No, it was cheap. It wasn't my day, but it was kind of my minimum. There I am. Yeah, I just got a little notice up here that my network connection was experiencing difficulties.
Yes, we were cutting in and out, and then you froze, and then I had the weird Bernie
so
Sanders
says,
thing.
Check your connectivity. Well, you check my connectivity, son
yes.
of a bitch.
Okay.
Okay, okay. Anyway, so we got out of it. I thought it was fair. I mean, he's a really good customer. This is an every 2 week customer that hasn't missed in 10 years. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you have to give a little to get a lot. And he really understood the value of my restraint system.
Good.
You know, he says that he gets anywhere near the dog with a brush at home and the dog just freaks out. He said, oh, I was thinking maybe I need a grooming table. Yeah.
Or perhaps a professional groomer that will do both of your dogs every other week. I mean, I know that's a hard concept, but when you buy two dogs, the idea is that you're going to maintain both of them, not just one.
Okay, so I wanted to share that a really positive experience I had this week is I attended a webinar on everyday Asian grooming on Mary Aquendo's, her educational site.
PositiveEd.com.
Thank you.
Yes, and how was it?
It was excellent. It was informative. It was comfortable. It helped.
Really? Because I was going to look at that. Of all of them that she's put up there, that's the one that interested me the most.
Yeah. So I felt that it was worthwhile. It took me up a notch. And that's what I want.
Excellent.
Know?
I have that Yorkie, that full-coated Yorkie that I said her hair was just getting to be a mess. Well, Mom went in and had some cancer taken out, and the dog's just a rat's nest now. So I told her that I could cut out the parts that are reoccurring, but eventually I think we want to cut her short. So she came to me later in the week and said, I definitely want to cut her short. And I was thinking of all things that for her, because she does maintain the dog pretty well usually, that an Asian style for that Yorkie might be a great idea.
Yeah.
But I suck at it. So I can go look at Mary's website at positiveed.com and have a look-see with that Asian seminar and learn something from it.
Yeah, why don't you give it a try? You're supporting an upcoming web teacher, Melissa Jepson, and I want to support her. I think she's got real potential. Her grooming is good too, and it was helpful. So do that. So what have we got on the agenda for today, Susie?
All kinds of fun stuff. We're going to continue on with our medicated shampoo thing. As a matter of fact, let's do that right now. Let's take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with our medicated shampoo part two, which is titled Rub-A-Dub-Dub, Should We Scrub in the Tub? We've all been there. Your appointment shows up and it's a matted mess. The products you choose can make a huge difference in the end result. The Ultramax line by Best Shot is the perfect solution. It was engineered for serious professionals to get dirty jobs done right. The Ultramax system starts with the shampoos. Ultramax Pro is a dilute as needed shampoo. Use it directly on the coat for degreasing, 15-1 for deep cleaning, 50-1 for light cleaning, or anything in between. It's perfect for recirculating bathing systems, And there's also Ultramax Clarifying Shampoo. Ultramax Pro Conditioner is so light but so powerful. It has Best Shot Special Coat Releasing Technology for superior de-shedding and de-matting. It never adds drying time and works great in recirculators. And a body splash. The whole Ultramax line features a modern sweet pea fragrance. This isn't your grandma's perfume. It's delightful. Whether it's Ultramax, One Shot, Ultra Wash, or any of the Best Shot lineup, you can expect the finest quality and true performance. They'll help you make masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. Find Best Shot products at quality distributors and online at bestshotpet.com. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. Barbara, I love the name you came up with. It's spectacular. And after you sent it to me this morning, it made me really think. What a great question. What a great discussion topic for us to have. So tell me what gave you this idea to come up with this particular title for this segment of our series.
Well, you know, what happened is that last week we opened up with the first episode and we talked about things to know about using medicated shampoos. And I went back into my Beyond Suds book and looked, after we did that, I looked at my notes from Beyond Suds and I say in there not to scrub. And I'm thinking, God, we didn't even talk about this. We should have talked about this last week. So the rub-a-dub-dub, should we scrub in the tub, just came out of my realizing that we didn't address the scrubbing thing. And the reason that I had it in my book that I advise not to scrub is that in many cases, you're actually overstimulating the sebum glands, and they will just create even more oil and sebum when you're dealing with a seborrheic greasy skin condition. Especially, there's a tendency for groomers wanting to get rid of every scale on the dog.
Oh, sure.
You know, it's like you just want to pick away at that stuff, you know. And the truth is, you probably should not do too much scrubbing unless you're specifically ordered to by the vet. Exfoliation is less likely to cause problems if you use water pressure, as we do with the bathing beauties. You know, and that's one of the reasons that when I'm doing a medicated shampoo in the tub with a bathing beauty, I hand apply it and I work it in by hand and I let it take its 15 minutes of time. And then I carefully rinse with the bathing beauty going on, and it just really sends all of the rest of the shampoo into the depths of the coat and to the skin, and it will loosen up. The bathing beauty action is exfoliating. Yeah.
Sometimes exfoliation is called for, but other times, especially with big icky bacterial infections, exfoliation is the last thing you really want to do. You just kind of want to work the medication in there and let it do its thing, because those sores hurt and you don't want to go in ripping them up with something rough or aggressive scrubbing.
I'm not a scrubbing person. And the other reason is that if the dog has any kind of coat at all, scrubbing, the action of scrubbing or using a scrub brush or a scrub glove or a scrub nubby thing, all those things, they really can damage the hair coat. They damage the outer surface of the hair shaft, so they make the hair more porous, more less manageable. There's going to be breakage, yada yada yada, and this comes because you are actually inflicting damage to the outer hair shaft that is irreparable. It can't be repaired. So friction is not a good thing when it comes to the hair.
When we're doing a normal dog shampoo, when we're bathing by hand, we often dilute the shampoo into a shampoo bottle, shake it up, and then it spreads a little bit easier throughout the coat. But using a directly applied shampoo where we don't really want to agitate the skin, what do you think the best way to get that all around is? Like more of a massaging kind of a thing, like you put on a lotion, more like that?
Yes, yes. Okay. Exactly. Rather than the back and forth kind of scrubbing it into the skin, you want to work it through the coat to the skin and then follow, after you've left it there the longest time, follow with a rinsing that actually moves the remaining shampoo around through the coat, get to any place that you've missed. But that's why I love the Bathing Beauty, because as an application applicator, you can't beat it. It really gets down to the skin and it will work that shampoo. And then the water is a safe exfoliant because it's water. And so you're not dehydrating the coat when you exfoliate with water pressure.
I imagine it creates a little bit of bumper as well when you've got water doing the work. Whereas if you're just massaging it in there, then the hairs are bumping against each other. But if you've got water surrounding the hairs, then maybe not as much agitation against the hair from each other, as we've learned over the past few years, that agitation action actually damages the hair shaft and it doesn't repair itself. It's dead. The hair shaft is dead. We can't say that often enough. So there's no way to fix that. And then you're dealing with bad skin and a bad coat. Let's try to just eliminate one of those. The easier one to eliminate is the bad coat by not rubbing it together. I think that's very interesting. Well, we lost Barbara, so we're just going to take a break and be back with our back to school segment. Groomers, we all know that the first thing doggy moms and dads do when they pick up their beautifully coiffed babies from us is they go in for a cuddle, right? That first cuddle is so important because it gives them the opportunity to really enjoy their freshly groomed and sweet-smelling pups. Well, our friends over at South Bark Professional Pet Products have a new item that's sure to bring a smile to all of those pet parents and groomers, too. South Bark, as you know, is the originator of the now famous South Bark's Blueberry Facial. They are located in sunny San Diego, California, where founders Lisa Vella and Donna Walker, also known as the Blueberry Girls, operate a dog wash and consumer pet store, as well as a wholesale distribution center. These amazing ladies have come up with an entirely new product that really has us here at the Groom Pod excited. It's a foaming cleanser with a fabulous new fragrance. It smells like blueberries and coconut, two of my personal favorite smells. I can't wait to try it. It's good for slobber mouth, goober eyes, and strategic stinkiness. The real neat thing is that you don't have to rinse it out. And to top it off, it's a foam, so it's extra safe for using around the eyes. You know how much Barbara and I love foam for faces. South Bark's Blueberry Coconut Pet Foam comes in a generous 8.5-ounce foamer and is safe for use on dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. This is sure to be a favorite in shops as a retail item or in the bathing room for pre-washing faces and loosening those eye boogies. If you would like more information or to place an order, you can go to the website www.southbarkprofessionalpet.com or you can call them at 1-877-232-2235. And remember to look for the Blueberry Girls and their products at many of our grooming trade shows and seminars.
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
Barbara, our veterinary vocabulary this week, I have been practicing how to say this. It's dermatophyte. Do you know what dermatophyte is?
Well, as a matter of fact, I do. But I'm forgetting it.
the moment. Uh-huh. I'm sure you've heard that. You probably even used that.
Yeah. Okay.
Wait, it's a class.
It is.
It's a class of diseases, right?
It's a class of fungi that cause ringworm. Yes, ringworm.
Now I remember. Okay. So, and that would be, so say it again.
It is dermatophyte. Dermatophyte. And the actual definition.
And then the disease is dermatophytosis or something.
Something
right?
like that. What I've got is here. Is the fungus that grows on skin, mucous membranes, hair, nails, feathers, and causes ringworm and related diseases. Those related diseases include jock itch, athlete's foot, and nail fungus, among others. I thought that was interesting.
I've had the 2 out of 3 of those.
Well, you don't have a jock, so I know which one. You didn't have. Okay. Grooming glossary this week is sable. Do you know what color sable is?
No, I'm still laughing. sable, I can picture it in my mind. It's sort of a combination between brown and gray in my mind's eye.
That's what I thought. But,
what did you learn?
I learned that it is black tip hairs on a background of silver or gold or gray or fawn or brown. Black tip hairs on a background of silver. So the end of the hair is black and then the middle of the hair would be silver, gray, gold, fawn, or brown.
Yeah.
So that I didn't think of it as that, but then I started to dissect it a little bit in my head and actually... Okay, let's do a definition du jour combined with a show season product information segment. Eh, what?
Well, I'd love to because I've chosen today to talk a little bit about one of the essential oil blends, blah, 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 essential oil blends that I manufacture for show season animal products to distribute, and tis the season of the floating germs, right?
Oh, so true.
So this is an essential oil blend for purifying, disinfecting the air or the premises. You know, I developed this. I just went back online and discovered it was in 2004.
Wow, time flies.
Time flies. You know, I was trying to recreate. What was my thought process when I put this blend together? You know, because a lot of it was intuitive for me, but it also was an intellectual process because I wanted to find oils that were reasonably priced and were proven to be effective germ killers and had good fragrance and would blend together. So that's kind of the process that I went through. And this is what I came up with. And I like it today as much as I did back in 2004. So it has a lemon oil base. The lemon oil that we get for essential oil is from the peel and not from the inner fruit. God, I can't even talk. Anyway, lemon has been used for antimicrobial properties for over 1,000 years, even longer than that. And it's a staple essential oil in Ayurvedic medicine or India medicine, okay?
Okay.
It has high antioxidant and antimicrobial properties, and the main components are limonene and pinene. And then it has some great other effects. And in addition to being a really good antimicrobial for cleansing the air or surfaces, it is uplifting for the emotions, and it helps people focus on the tasks at hand. Lemon oil is one of my favorites. The next oil in there is lavender, which we all know of. It's probably been used for over 2,500 years. It has powerful antioxidant, antimicrobial, sedative, calming, and antidepressant properties. So you get to cleanse your air and lift your depression in one blend. What do you think about that, Susie?
Well, I think that lavender and lemon are naturally a good blend together, even in food, if you're going to eat lavender, which is not one of my favorites because to me it tastes very soapy. But if you just use just the right amount of lemon in a lavender kind of a buttercream on a vanilla cupcake, it's spectacular.
Wow, I've never tried that. I'll have to do it. Lavender is probably the most widely known and widely used essential oil in the whole world. And it's been studied and scientifically backed up for its powerful antioxidant, antimicrobial, sedative, calming, and antidepressive properties. It's just a main staple deal, and it works well with lemon. The next oil is bergamot oil, and it's another good antibacterial. So you're starting to get a sense that I was choosing essential oils for this blend that all had antibacterial or antiviral properties and actions.
And that one's another citrus, isn't it?
So bergamot oil is another citrus. That's very good of you. And it's another one where the major components are limonene. So here we have another limonene. We had limonene in the lemon.
Right.
Linalyl acetate, which is also in the lavender. The key components of lavender are the linalyl acetate and linalool. But, you know, these are hard words to say when you have dentures.
They're hard without dentures, and that just adds another layer.
You might notice that the older people around you have a different vocabulary than you do. It's because some shit doesn't float out of your mouth as well when you got a load of plastic in there. Oh, linalyl acetate and linalool. And those are also both found in bergamot. There is a caution for bergamot oil because it's phototoxic. So in the sunlight, it can cause mischief. It can irritate the skin. It can, it just doesn't do well in the direct sunlight. So it's not a really good choice for something that's going on the skin. But in the air, it's very effective to fight infections. And it's also, it serves as in perfumery to help different fragrances blend together. So it's always a good one to have in there. It's kind of double duty. It's got major health benefits, and it's also helps the overall blend that I created to work. This blend, Healthy Home, has 6 essential oils, and I usually never go over 3. Each one of these ingredients made so much sense that I combined them. Geranium oil is a potent antibacterial and antifungal, and it's been shown to be effective against at least 24 types of bacteria and fungi. So it's a broad spectrum. It's a kind of a broad spectrum antimicrobial. The key components are citronellol and geranol.
Uh-huh.
Both citronellol oil and geranol are insect repellents. So in the summertime when we use this, it really helps keep the bugs away. Eucalyptus radiata, primarily 1,8-cineol, has antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, and pain-relieving effects. It's also really well-known for its positive effect on to clear up respiratory tract of built-up mucus. So it's a good one to help prevent respiratory illness because it kills those kind of things and it kind of clears your airway so there's nothing lingering. It's also kind of pungent.
Think Vicks Vapor Rub.
Yeah, think Vicks Vapor Rub. Menthol and
eucalyptus.
Eucalyptus. But I use Eucalyptus radiata, which is a more, has a rounder, a less sharp, a less acute medicinal kind of hit.
Okay.
So it, and that's one of the reasons why it's not a bothersome ingredient. The last one is ravensare. And ravensare is from Madagascar, and it's kind of like, to Madagascar, it's like tea tree oil is to the Australia. It's an overall cure-all kind of a thing used in Madagascar, but it's unique in that it has strong antiviral property.
Probably has a lot of folkloric history within the culture as well.
Yeah, it has folkloric history, but interestingly enough, it hasn't been used as much. It's kind of a lesser known oil.
Ah, okay.
Which is a good thing because it's not real sustainable.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's yeah. hard to it's hard to grow and all of that kind of stuff. So it's okay that it's not taken off the big surge of interest because that really, no, you know, what happens?
Too much pressure.
Yeah, it puts pressure and sometimes results in mischief being done, or let's say, you know, products being stretched with other component oils and stuff like that. So it's just as good that the ravensare, which is a very strongly antiviral essential oil, be kind of be kept under the covers.
Well, what I know about this blend is it really smells bright and clean and citrusy, and I use it in my trailer. It's a really lovely layer of different fragrances. It's very bright, though. That's the way I would describe it the most. Would you say, how am I doing?
Yeah, it is not a sedative type of oil. Like, you know, I have another one, also use some bergamot in there, but it's a heavy vetiver oil and lime base, and boy, that one just like sets you down.
Well, this one, so, even with the lavender in it, it doesn't.
This one, this one, I'm glad that you associate it with kind of an uplifting, because look at almost everything in there is good for depression. <you know?
laughs> I haven't really experienced that, so I'm no good judge on that one. Maybe I'll stick my husband out there in the trailer.
Yeah, but on the other hand, I think it would be okay for you. I wouldn't want to give you too much of a boost of energy. Lord knows.
Yeah,
continue to break those leashes.
Indeed. That's why I don't drink caffeine. I can't even imagine the damage that would do. Well, if you guys, does that cover it all?
I think so. I'm going to be talking with Show Seasons to see if we can't create some other products out of this blend, like she's done with my Mellow Pet, because now you can get Mellow Pet direct spray and Mellow Pet shampoo and Mellow Pet this and that. I think it would be good to do a hand cleaner and a surface cleaner.
Right. Well, if you guys want to get your hands on some of this Healthy Home Essential Oil Blend, you can go to showseasongrooming.com or you can call them at 678-382-0218. That way you're guaranteed to get the wholesale pricing. Or you can email them an order if you're already set up with them. You can also visit your local distributors like Groomers Mart and my very favorite Cascade Grooming Supply. Okay, let's take a quick break here from Evolution, and then we're going to talk about surprise, air purifiers.
All right.
Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now... Okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that? Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. Well, I had a good time looking into the air purifier question. It was asked on Facebook by one of our listeners. And I always go to my most trusted source. And my husband pointed out that hopefully it's still my most trusted source. And that is consumerreports.org. How do you feel about consumerreports.org? I've always felt they were pretty unbiased.
Yeah, I always saw them as sort of an unbiased judge.
Okay.
Kind of.
And I,
but anything that gains power is subject to corruption, right?
Right. Well, what I'll say about them is they do no advertising at all. So they don't take money for advertising. They're all done by subscription support. I went there behind the paywall at consumerreports.org and I looked up air purifiers. And what I found was that there is very little good science backing whether air purifiers are helpful or whether they do nothing at all, or even on some cases they do a little bit of damage. The American Lung Association says that they modestly reduce asthma attacks, but their data is extremely hard to trace. You know, and it's always a little shifty when the person who's reporting the data has a real slight towards one end or the other end, so you got to take that with a grain of salt. The EPA makes no broad statements about their use at all. Instead, they say eliminate indoor pollutants and bring in the fresh air. The scientific community thinks for air pollution and smoke, they might, operative word there be might, be effective. But the study done in the scientific community was done in China by the Chinese government. And the British Columbia CDC thinks academically that they must help, but they have no actual proof to that. So I thought that was kind of telling right there. They can't really back up whether these things help or not.
I'll mention something. Years ago, I had a nice trade going with a naturopathic doctor.
Yeah.
And in fact, that's where my first Bichon El Gringo came from. He and his wife brought the dog across the border as he was strayed in a fishing village. And the little dog was being horrible to their 10-year-old schnauzer. And I took the dog. So anyway, I was talking about this to this doctor, and particularly about the ozone creating purifiers.
Yes.
He said, in his opinion, that was not a good thing. Adding ozone to a limited space. I can't remember his rationale, Susie, but I just remember that in addition to there being no proof of efficacy, there's a question as to whether adding ozone to the air on a regular basis is really a good thing.
Actually, they have found in closed spaces that adding ozone is a lung irritant. So that's the current science. He was definitely right on top there. So there are different types of air purifiers. And our listener asked about a specific one that is advertised often on Facebook and through Amazon that's called Molecule. And here is the guts of it all. There is three ways, even today, that the filtration takes place.
The three types of air purifiers are the filter-based purifiers, or the electrostatic precipitators, or the ionizer air purifiers. And the last two, the precipitators and the ionizers, neither one of those are recommended by Consumer Reports because both of them produce ozone, that thing that Barbara was talking about that's a lung irritant.
The filter-based ones don't do anything to remove gas in your environment, and only carbon filters will remove the smell. Usually they combine one of these three methods or one or two of these three methods together. They are definitely shying away from the one that produces the ozone because they have proven that that is not good for you.
Are there two types of filters? What's a HEPA filter?
There are actually three filters. There's a regular filter, there's a HEPA filter, and there's a carbon filter. HEPA filter stands for High Efficiency Particulate Absorber. HEPA filter-based purifiers claim to capture up to 99.97% of allergens and pollutants as small as approximately 0.3 microns, which is about the size of fine dust and smoke particulates.
HEPA filters being the best of the filters, they produce the best effect. They reduce the particulates by the most amount. But still, even then, the science behind it doesn't say anything like it could even attempt to handle something like a grooming environment, because we have so much stuff in our air. Guaranteed it's going to remove a bunch of stuff, but is it going to remove enough to be effective? Well, with the portable units, I really don't think it is. They tested them by putting the unit in an airtight box and then filling it with smoke and fine dust particulates. And they just didn't find them to be that effective. And once the stuff hits the ground, the only way to get rid of it is to vacuum really well. So vacuuming, I think, is the key. Now, there are, if you're in a shop, units that will go into your HVAC system. We have one actually in our house. We have a HEPA filter and a zapper in the house. And it does seem to make it smell less dusty. I'm not a good duster, I'll fully admit that. But I think the bottom line is the portable units don't really help in a commercial situation like a grooming shop. So unless you can install one in your big system, in your heating and air conditioning system, you're probably wasting your money. So there you go.
Might as well just get an aromatherapy diffuser and some healthy home.
I agree, Barbara Bird. And I think we should run the heck away from this show while we can. But you guys need to know, because I'm sure the second half of the show is going to sound quite different than the first half of the show, is we got booted off the internet on our normal recording day. So we've come back to record 2 days later, and Barbara's microphone has decided to puke out. So we've done it over the phone, and it may sound a little bit different. But in the long run, we did get the show done, and we want to thank you for being here. Remember to support our sponsors. Share us with your friends. Happy grooming. Anything else, Barbara?
Don't forget to wear good shoes.
I like it. All right. See you next week here on the Groom Pod. Bye-bye now.
Bye, you guys. We'll see you again soon.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com, or Barbara at Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening, and see you real soon.